Good evening, everybody. Tonight's class is dedicated in memory of my father, Yosef ben Charlotte Alav Shalom. It was dedicated by the members of my Avenue Day Torah Center morning Gemara class. So I thank all the students who contributed. You know, when you go through a shiva, when you go through a seven-day period of mourning, lo alechem, nobody should have to. Although the community keeps you very busy with their visits and their consolation and their condolences, you still have a lot of time to think. And b'siyata d'shmaya, one of the things that crossed my mind, I was able to find in Sefarim to clarify my concept of them. There's something we say in the Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah is a time of Yom Hadin, judgment. And it says that a person, Hashem judges ma'ase ish ufkudato. Now, I didn't look in any English machzor to find out what it means, because it's clear that there's a difference between ma'ase ish, the deeds of a person, ufkudato, that for which he was appointed or his mission. So on the Day of Judgment, we all acknowledge in the Musaf prayer, a person is judged for his actions and his or her mission. So my basic question on the floor tonight, with the starting point, because I have no idea where we're going, I just get in the car and press cruise control, is how does a person's mission differ from a person's actions? So I'll answer right away, which I usually don't give you that luxury, but I'm mellowing with old age. So rather than keep you on the edge of your seats, I'll tell you the answer. Actions, persons judged by their actions, one Rabbi in the Gemara says every minute, one says every day, one says every year on Rosh Hashanah, one says at the end of life. But a person's actions is the sum total of everything a person did in the past. Let's say it's Rosh Hashanah, when it says Ma'aseh Ish, a judge, the actions of a person are judged, it means all that the person did since last Rosh Hashanah. If a person did a mitzvah, they're rewarded. If a person did avera lo aleinu, the punishment is due. You have to pay. Ufkudato, the mission, refers to a person's purpose, to the potential. It's all that a person could have accomplished. And a person is judged against that yardstick. Here's what you could have done. Now let's see what you did. The most famous story, which I really didn't have to look up, because it is the, I think, most told story about potential, is told about a great rabbi, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, Zecha Tzadik Livracha. The initials of all those names comes out to be Netziv. The Netziv, he's called. He wrote some very famous sefarim in his life as Rosh Yeshiva. But when he released his first sefer, Ha'amek She'elah, he made a big, we would call it a sebet, I guess he called it a kiddush. Some people call it a siyum, I guess. But he had a big party, celebration. And somebody asked him, why are you so excited about this accomplishment? We go to the library, there's not hundreds of sifarim, there's thousands of works on Torah. And it's going to sit on the shelf, some people use it, some won't. But it's not such an unusual thing that somebody publishes a sefer. So the Netziv answered with a very famous story. He said when he was 11 years old, he wasn't too successful in school, in the yeshiva, the cheder. And one night, when he was tossing and turning in his bed, he heard his parents talking. And they obviously had come to the conclusion, we don't have a Talmid Chacham on our hands. As much as they prayed, as much as they dreamed for one, he's not making it in learning. So why further frustrate the child? The people didn't go to vocational schools or universities in those days. Let's arrange for an apprenticeship. Let him work for the shoemaker and learn the trade of shoemaking. And at least he'll turn out to be a person who learns a little bit every day, prays every day, and earns an honest living and raises a family. When the Netziv heard this, he came out of his bedroom and begged his parents to give him another chance. And his father, who was skeptical, said, we don't see any evidence that you're going to succeed. You don't put any effort into it. So he said, you know, school terms were called zman, the time, the period. At least give me till the end of this zman, this term, so to speak. And in that particular period of his life, he rose from the bottom of the class to the top. He says, imagine what would have happened if I didn't hear my parents speaking that night. I would have become a regular businessman, praying and doing all the things a good Jew does as a business person, a Baal HaBayit. But when I got to heaven after 120, the court's going to ask me, what did you do with your life? And I'm going to tell them this regular person's life, good life. But then they're going to ask me, where is your sefer, where is your book called Sheltot? And I'm going to say, what book? I'm a shoemaker. Shoemakers don't write Sfarim of Torah. And they would say, it says here you were given a neshama that could write that book. So now that I've written it, I'm making a party, because now I can answer the question when they ask me. I could say, here it is. You see, people make a tragic error. Most of us, and I don't exclude myself from any of these things that I speak about weekly, underestimate our personal potential. And not recognizing your potential, it's not a mistake. It's a tragedy. People have far more potential than they think. Some people have a good head. I see a very bright crowd tonight. I like your reaction to the little bit I've said so far. I have a bright crowd. Sometimes I'm fortunate. People understand what I'm saying. So this bright crowd, some of you are brighter than others, In a school setting, let's use that as the example, not a work setting or a life setting, which applies everywhere, but let's take a school setting. Somebody with a good memory and a quick mind, in the grade system that schools have set up today, can probably get a very good grade average, go to the best schools, not work too hard, and still, in the measures of success set up by the school system, succeed. Can have an A average, could go on to college, university, go to yeshiva, and Eretz Yisrael. Why? It's easy. You started off brighter than the other children, and based on the average to a little above average curriculum, you score high without much effort. So that person who does that makes a mistake of measuring themselves against those who are weaker than they are. And that leads to a certain complacency, a certain intellectual and spiritual laziness, because what a person should compare themselves to is what they could be accomplishing. They themselves. He or she. As my word processor would correct me. You don't say they when you're talking about one, right? Okay, good. When Noah came out of the ark, the famous Teva, he was fantastic. He knew exactly what to do. He built a Mizbeach, he brought a Korban, sacrifice, an offering. And Hashem made a famous statement. I will not continue anymore to curse the ground because of man. Because, of course, the earth was punished because of the deeds of man. And then Hashem continues, for man's inclination is evil from his youth. Rakra, mine'orav. A person is basically bad. Has a yetzarah when they're young. The yetzarah tov comes at bar or bat mitzvah. And then Hashem continues the pasuk by repeating himself. And I will not continue to smite the living as I have done. So the question is, why does Hashem say, I will not continue twice? So the Midrash tells us, I will not continue for Noah's children, I will not continue for all generations. In other words, there are times where the world deserves another flood. Who knows, maybe today, in a typical day in Hollywood, Las Vegas, or Atlantic City, the people are behaving worse than at the times of the flood. Maybe with internet and television and international porno, maybe we're worse than they were. I don't know. I wasn't around. I know I look old, but I wasn't there then. But Hashem does something very kind. At any time where the world would deserve destruction, Hashem instead shows a rainbow. The famous rainbow, that pretty happiness picture, which children draw when they do psychological tests. If a child draws a rainbow, he's a happy child. He's well balanced. He drew a rainbow. Little does he know, he's not drawing a natural phenomenon caused by the vapors and the mists following a rainstorm in the sunlight. It's a sign. It's a warning about what could have been. And we even say a beracha when we see a rainbow. There's a difference of opinion, whether you should say it with Hashem's name in it, or you should say Baruch and skip Hashem's name. We here in Brooklyn, the Chalabiyah, don't say it. Chacham Avad Yosef Shalita has a pesach that you do say it. Most Ashkenazim do say it. But regardless, there is a beracha that was established by our sages upon sighting a rainbow. Baruch ata Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam. If you say Shem Achud, if you skip, you say Baruch. Zocher haberit, who remembers the covenant. Ne'eman bebrito, faithful to keep his covenant. Bekayam bema'amaro, and he exists in his word. We praise Hashem for keeping his promise. But there were certain people at certain times in history who were so great that their merits alone was sufficient to protect the entire generation. And one of the proofs of their righteousness was a rainbow never appeared in their lifetime. Imagine a person lives 90, 100 years, not one rainbow in their lifetime. Because Hashem would not have destroyed the world as long as these people protected the existence of the world. One person was Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is the famous sage who used to travel around with Eliyahu Navi, like his buddy. The way you people came tonight as a group, could you imagine just, okay, Eliyahu, why don't you park over there? And he'd park the car and you get out together and go to a class together and then you go out for coffee after. And Eliyahu Navi traveled around with him. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is also known for his famous trick on the angel of death. When his time came, the angel of death came to pick him up. And Rabbi Yehoshua was learning. And so when a person's learning, like the famous Midrash of David HaMelech and Shavuot, so long as the person is learning, the angel of death cannot do his job. So he said, he went back to Hashem, and he asked him what to do. So Hashem told the angel of death, do whatever he wants. So he came to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi and said, listen, I'm here to pick you up, but it seems like, you know, you're interfering with my job. What would you like? So he said, it's simple. Show me my place in Gan Eden. If you want to take me, show me where I'm going. So the angel agrees and says, climb on my back. I'll fly you there. This is a Gemara. I didn't make up the story. Those of you with the art scroll can check Ketubot, page 77b. I don't know if it's B1, B2, B3, but I know it's in there. Ayin Zayin Hashem Oz Lamo Yiten in Ketubot. And Rabbi Yehoshua said, he feigned fear. He says, I can't get on your back. You have your knife. You'll kill me. Let me hold your knife. So the angel of death gave Rabbi Yehoshua Levi his knife that he uses to kill people. Well, they get to Gan Eden. They get to the border. He says, where am I going to be? He says, you're going to be over there. Rabbi Yehoshua Levi jumps off the angel's back into Gan Eden and swears he's not coming out. Well, the angel goes back, tells Hashem, you told me to listen to him. What can I do now? He's in Gan Eden alive. So Hashem says, well, you can make hatara, nullify the vow. But that's on condition that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, once in his life, did not keep a vow or nullify the vow. So they checked the records, and of course, any vow he would have made, he kept, and he never made hatara on any vow. So he said to the angel, listen, give me back my knife. And he said, no. And then a heavenly voice came out and said, give it to him. He needs it for the sake of mankind. Because you can imagine what it would be, major medical and old age costs if nobody died. And the problems people would have with their kidneys and their hearts and their livers, and then they can't die. So for the sake of mankind, for the benefit of mankind, to get them through this birth process of this world to the next world, he gave back the knife. Comes Eliyahu Navi, and he says, wake, make way, clear the road. Ben Levi is coming. Ben Levi is coming. So now Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi approaches the yeshiva of Gan Eden, and who comes out to meet him? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai comes out. He's sitting on 13 thrones of gold. And he tells them, are you Ben Levi? And he says, yes. He says, did a rainbow ever appear in your lifetime? And he said, yes. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, if a rainbow appeared in your lifetime, you're not Yehoshua Ben Levi. The Gemara then comments, there really wasn't one. But he didn't want to brag. So he said, yeah, there was. Now, I don't know how he told it. on truth and Olam Abba. We're not going to get into all the books. But that's the basic story. But what I want you to learn from the story is that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's insight, comment, is very important to our lesson tonight. If Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi had the spiritual potential to reach the spiritual madriga level where no rainbow would appear in his lifetime, and he did not reach that level, so to speak, because he said there was a rainbow in his lifetime, that means he would not have reached his full potential, then he would not truly be the neshama called Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Now, that's a deep thought. Basically, it means that a person is given potential, and when they fulfill that potential, they become that person. And if they miss the mark, they fall short, then they're not all they could have been, then they're not the complete person. Noach was like that. You know, Noach was a great man. Ish tzaddik, tamim ha'ya b'dorotav. The Torah testifies. We don't need that, you know. You don't need me to give you a letter that tells you if he comes to tzedakah, you can give money to Noach. He's a reliable character. But yet, the Haftarah and the prophet, Yeshayahu, says, Hashem makes a promise, ki mei Noach. I'm not going to bring a flood called mei Noach, the waters of Noach, ever again to the world. Now the Zohar asks, why does the Pasuk in the prophet call the waters of the flood May Noach? Noach was the one who saved us from the flood. Now you're pinning the whole thing on him. It's his waters that flooded the world. If anything, pick another name, but not him. Because he's the one person who saved humanity from the flood. Because without him and his family, where would we be? Not here tonight, that's for sure. You see, Noah had the potential to be someone who could protect his generation from the flood. And because Noach did not behave to his full potential, he did save us, the offspring, from the flood. But he didn't save the generation from the flood. Since it was in his power, and he did not, he fell short. So Hashem says, you know why there was a flood? Because of Noach. Noach had the ability to stop it, and he didn't. So I'm going to put in the Navi, in Tanakh, forever and ever, the blame for the flood is on this incomplete neshama who didn't do his mission. He did ma'asim, but he didn't fulfill his tafkid, pekudato, as we started with 20 minutes or so ago. 24. Therefore, I'm going to call those waters of the flood May Noach forever. The waters of Noach. First principle of the night. This teaches us a very important lesson. That every person is held responsible not only for their actions, but for the completion of their mission. Very often, a person says, don't squirm under the seat, because you always do this. I can't. And my answer to this person in the first row is, you don't want to. Because if you want to, you can. No, I want to, but I can't. No, you don't want to. En davar omed lifnei ha'ratzon. Nothing stands in the way of will. And if a person claims that they can't, I propose tonight that person can, but doesn't want. And unfortunately, it's a frightening thought, but after 120, woo, you're going to be asked, up there, where's the completion of your task? Where's the job, the product, the spiritual product you were supposed to bring to the world? For the Netziv, it was the Sefer, the book. For somebody else, I don't know. I know there are people, I'll give you an example. There are people who have a neshama, they think they're just like everybody else, and then a tragedy befalls them. Lo aleinu, an autistic child, or someone who's deaf, or an accident, or something. And some people get depressed by it, some people hide it, and some people start organizations to treat the problem and to help thousands of others with the same problem. Some people start a kollel in a city where there is none. And family after family for generations benefits from the change in the town. Some people start chesed organizations because they find out people don't have food for Shabbat. And a few years later, they have these messengers going out with hundreds of baskets of food every Friday afternoon or Thursday night. And they collect thousands upon thousands of dollars each week to make it happen. And then it runs into baby formula and wedding subsidies and da-da-da-da-da. And those same people, those simple to themselves people, could blow it and get to Shamayim, and they'll say, where is the organization that you were supposed to create? And I'll say, what organization? I'm a shoemaker. And I was suffering trying to take care of an autistic child. When did you expect me to make an organization? And that child was the signal to make that organization. To fulfill the potential that neshama had to fix that organization. And build it. And solve a lot of others' similar problems. One rabbi said, I don't know how he figured it, and so I won't say his name and I won't substantiate it, that most people only fulfill about one third of their potential. You know, even the yeshiva system today, we have more people sitting and learning Torah now, I think, than at any time in history. It's unbelievable. Lakewood alone is over 3,000 people learning all day. Panovich is about 3. That's 6,000 in 2 yeshivas. And all over the world, there are people learning yeshivas. I did a guesstimate last week with a member of our community, one of the elder statesmen. We were talking about opening up Magen David in the 50s. It was the first really Jewish day school here for the Aleppo community in America. And we figured out that the Sephardic community just here in Brooklyn has approximately 10,000 children learning Torah every day. 10,000. It's phenomenal. Imagine if those people in the 50s didn't do their job and they missed that boat, that signal in their lives that they were the ones chosen. Would they go to Shamayim and instead of PS 238 see a public school with their name on it and they'd say, where's your yeshiva? Where are those students that should have been learning in Tavshin, Samech Bet, and Yor Zichut? Those 10,000 children, where are they? Me? I was an accountant. I was an importer. I was a retailer. I had a little store on the east side. 10,000 children learning in my Zichut? So it boils down first to understanding that this principle exists. That there is a potential given to each neshama, And a person must reach that potential to be successful. In fact, I gave a class, I think, I was looking at my notes. It said something like December 01. Not so long ago. It was in the parasha of Vayigash. And based on the Midrash, or maybe it was 2 years ago, I remember, the Midrash about everybody be judged, fi ma shehu. Everybody be judged according to what they are. And the bottom line of that class was similar. That a person has potential, and you're judged according to you, and you're judged according to you, and you're judged according to you, not according to the person sitting next to you. So if you're spiritually better off than the other person, when we measure on a flat scale, you're an A student, she's a B student, well, if the B student really has a C neshama, and the A student has an A plus neshama, the B student's doing better. Because more of the potential was fulfilled. And it seems like when it comes to spiritual pursuits especially, that people due to their yetzara don't want to fulfill their potential. You know why? It's scary. If I become that way, it's scary, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like if I put on a skirt, that means like never wear pants again. And you know, if a guy puts on a black hat, he's marked forever. Can't go to certain shuls, you know. People talk about him. Nobody will ever call you to go out to dinner again. Same thing with the skirt. No, not quite. It's not yet. But with the wig, it comes. But if a person knows. If a person knows, look, let's say I come here tonight, this is my crowd, you're all my friends, nobody's out to get me, I'm going to give you a shiur, I'm preparing home. If I don't take my job seriously, which Baruch Hashem I do, I think, then I could say, tonight I'm going to fake it. I'll tell a couple of good old stories, I'll take out some old notes, I'll throw a couple of things at them, who's going to bother me? But if I knew that I was speaking at an Agudat Yisrael convention and I'm going to have 25 or 50 Rosh Yeshivas sitting at a dais and I'm going to have a crowd of B'nai Torah and distinguished rabbis and learned laymen sitting in a crowd of 2,000 people, I'm going to have a different attitude towards every word that comes out of my mouth. Not true, because I love you guys. I'm going to give you the same treatment. Even though there's about 15 to 18, 1900 of you missing. But if a person knows they're going to be tested in depth by authorities of the caliber of a great Rosh Yeshiva, and a person wants to succeed, then a person could sit down and learn much more than they thought they could learn. And the same of us, if we know we're going to heaven and we're going to be tested by a heavenly court that's going to be of the highest madriga, the highest level, how much should we try and perform to our full potential? So how are we going to do this? This is, you know, practical lessons for modern times. You know, if I had to name my series, you know, we always have something practical. This so far is very esoteric. Okay, I don't know what my potential is. I thought I was pretty smart, but maybe I'm a dummy based on what I should be. I thought I was pretty religious, but maybe I'm supposed to be the Rebbetzin. I don't know. So now, where am I? The guy's talking. I got to figure out what he wants. So let me tell you. When Yaakov Avinu blessed his children, remember that. Come, I'm going to tell you about Mashiach. He forgets. He says, Shema Yisrael. He says, do you believe in God? Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem. All the great midrash about it. He brought them together. But then he says he gave the blessings to the tribes. V'zot asher dibeh lehem avihem. And this is what their father said to them. V'yibarech otam. He blessed them. Ish asher kebirchato berach otam. Each man, according to his blessing, he blessed them. According to the individual blessing, he blessed them. Rashi, please explain for me. Okay, thank you, I will. Ish asher kebirchato, what does that mean? Each according to his blessing. Berecha hatita laba kol ahad v'echad. The blessing that was destined for the future to dwell on each one of these people. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, each one. Now really, the Mashkiach Mimir, Rabbeinu Yerucham once said, Inyana berachot sheberach Yaakov et ha-shivatim. The matter of the blessings with which he blessed his children, his tribes. Shebrikat kol echad ve'echad hayta kefi aroi lo lefi tevo midotav. He blessed each one according to what they were worthy of, based on their nature, their personality, we might call it, umidotav, their character traits. Custom-made berachot. You have a short temper, I'll bless you according to short temper. You're generous, I'm going to bless you based on generosity. You're stingy, I'll bless you based on stinginess. But I'm going to bless you according to your nature, your personality, and your traits. Which leads us to an amazing principle. I don't want to get into the details of each tribe because the time will pass and I can spend the rest of the hour on that class. Come back in Parshat Vayechi, I'll give the class next year. But the Mashkiach says, and I quote, you learn from the different blessings given to the different tribes. And basically, I'll give you one that Yehuda was a thank you person. Because he came from Leah, who was a thank you person. And born from that was David HaMelech, who's a thank you person. Got the thank yous there? I don't have to explain that. All these thank you people come from one place, from Leah. Lamarnu mizeh yisod nifla, says the Mashkiach. We learn an amazing principle. Sherak al yedeh shemirat ma'alotav atovot atkinuyot etzlo bateva bilvad. Just through Shemirah is the guarding of the fine points, the ma'alot, that a person has by nature. Your natural talents, darling. It's only your natural talents. Zoche ha'adam lechol shelimuto v'zechuto. A person merits his perfection or her perfection and their merit, their zechut. Mishum shebe'emet kol yesod adat adam eno ba'alot atovot asher hinam etzlo bateva. A person's service to God is based on what? Guess what? We have one Torah and everybody has their own job. Everybody has their own role within the scope of Torah and it's based on how Hashem made you. If you were given a merciful nature, and I have such a kind looking crowd tonight that I picked that. All you kind people, if you were giving a merciful nature, that's one of your midot, right? You're a kind person, I could tell. This kind smiling face over here, if this young lady behaves in a kind way and develops her kindness to the umpteenth degree to her full potential, V'yachazik b'hem karaui shelo lazuz mitzivav atovim. This person does not sway from the appointed role. Mitoch ze yagia lechol tachlit shleimuta. She will reach perfection. I change it to female because I'm talking about. She will reach her perfection. And kula, all of her yitapech litov, will be turned into good. Even her shortcomings, which she doesn't have many, but whatever they may be, this person's shortcomings, if she develops her strengths, the weaknesses will fade away. Isn't that great? I don't have to fight my weaknesses. No takers. I don't have to fight my weaknesses to become great spiritually. And that's all my life until today. I'm being honest with you. I've been on this subject all day today. And it's mind-boggling. It's driving me crazy. I might not sleep tonight. Because this, you saw it is, I don't have to fight my bad nature. Isn't that what you thought you have to do to get to Olam Haba? I'm stingy, I have to learn to give tzedakah. I have a wild temper, I got to learn to be kind. Isn't that what you thought? The yesod tonight is, I have to work on my talents. And if I work on my talents, I will overcome my shortcomings, erase them, and reach shilemut, which is called in English perfection. And I don't have to put up with all my weaknesses. Wow. I'm excited. It's exciting. I can't sleep. I'm just thinking about it. I don't have to overcome my stinginess and become a Baal Tzedakah. But I have Rachmanut. I have to develop my Rachmanut. And in the end of life, after 120, I will no longer be stingy. And all I'm doing is what they tell you when you go on a date, when you go on an interview, when you enter a new class or a new group. Be yourself. Don't put on airs. Don't fight your natural tendencies. Just be yourself. Even me, I could be myself and succeed. Wow. And I thought I had to become somebody else. So now it might seem that you're telling me I have to stay myself. That sounds pretty easy. We came in here, he scared me in the beginning. I thought I had this hard, he told me it's a hard class, and there it's so easy. All I have to do is follow my nature. And I thought all my life I have to fight my nature. But Emet, truly, a person who does guard their natural tendencies and their good points will not only run up against one test, will run up against many tests. But if a person meets the challenge using their strengths, they'll wipe out their weaknesses. Let's take Rabbeinu Yonah, the famous Sha'arei Teshuvah. He gives an example. It's a great example. It's a fantastic one because I even understand it. Sometimes I don't understand. Sometimes I quote you things I don't understand. I get away with it. But this one I understand. There's a famous Chazal. Chazal say, Kol HaKoveya Makom Tvilato. Any person who has a set place to pray. As they say in yeshiva, I daven on that spot. What happens? Elokei Abraham Be'ezro. The God of Abraham will help him. Uchshemet, and when that person dies, now all this person did was pick a space to pray. Omrim alav, hey Hasid. Can you imagine the angels singing with Yaakov, Shweki, and a band? Hey Hasid, the guy's a Hasid. Hey Anav, the person is humble. Look who's coming. Mitalmidav shel Abraham Avinu. This person who prayed in the same place every day is a student of Abraham Avinu. Huh? What do you do? Chassid?
Anav, Anav is Moshe Rabbeinu. Not a guy stands in the corner in the same spot every day. But if a person, Rabbeinu Yonah explains, understands the loftiness and the power of prayer, and tries with all their might to apply themselves to tefillah, to grasp what that is, tefillah. And he realizes that if I stand in the same place, in the same shul, in my place every day, and I pray in that place, and I make a point to do it, and that's one of the things Chazal tells me, helps me relate to prayer in the proper way so that I make it my own, the power of prayer. Well then, there's other things having to do with prayer that I must accomplish. I have to get rid of distractions, don't I? Because if I'm distracted, I can't pray, can I? And I can't be a Baal Ga'ava. I can't be conceited or haughty if I'm approaching God, can I? I saw a halakha, a person standing with their hands on their hips is making a sin when they pray because it looks conceited. But I don't say nothing, I didn't talk, I'm by my hands on it. Na'amida, you're standing with your hands on your hips. No good. So a person who approaches prayer the proper way, maybe it starts, or one of the elements is standing in place, but by pursuing that element, now they develop a gisha, an approach to prayer, and then they realize, I need anava also. I'm standing before God, look how great He is and how low I am. And then he needs a seriousness of thought. He needs a feeling for others, I'm praying for the fuah. He needs a emunah in the ge'ulah, I'm praying for Mashiach. And now as you say the Amidah, you're exposed to all the values and you're approaching tefillah. Oh, that person, if a person bothers to have one place to stand and pray, says Rabbeinu Yonah, and he starts to develop that particular one beautiful midah, eventually they're going to acquire all the other midot and become shalem in the aspect of tefillah. Oh, now I understand what he's talking about. So now if I have a strength that was given to me by God as natural, I'm bright, or I'm merciful, or I'm generous, and I start to pursue that test, and I will be tested in that, because that's my midah. And I'm either going to develop it properly or I'm going to blow it. So I guarantee you, that's where you will be tested. As much in your weakness as in your strength. And there's where you can start to focus on that and realize all the other aspects of that midah. And all the other things that that midah brings you to. And then you start to climb towards perfection. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, al yedei sheyishmor al ma'ala achat, a person guarding one positive trait, asher lo bateva, that's his naturally, lahazik barak karaui, and he wants to hold on to it the right way, mitoch ze bechreach itgaber gam hakol davar mushchatim. Through that work of trying to perfect my strength, I will overcome my weaknesses. So now, what sounded so simple a mere 12 minutes ago is starting to sound difficult. You see, the service of a person is not so simple. Because a person has to realize that that good quality, that I was given and seems easy to me and maybe difficult to others is the exact pressure point where I will be tested. You see, Yaakov Avinu blessed his children, each according to their nature, for their strength. And so the Mashgiach says, Kilal Gadol, principle number two, Binyan Nisyonot, in the matter of tests, She'en menasim et ha'adam ele dafka bedvarim she'mitzad tev'o musukah lekayimam. They only test a person from Shamayim according to their nature in those things that you are not only capable but probable and suited to pass. You're given a test, you can pass. Hashem Sadiq Yivhan. Hashem tests the righteous, and he tests them in that matter which makes them righteous. So now, let's flip it. If you're tested, that means you got what it takes. If I'm tested constantly with generosity, people find out that somebody gives a little tzedakah, or maybe somebody gave a nice donation to one cause, or maybe they were honored for helping a certain institution out, and suddenly there's knocks on the door every moment, different people, phones ringing, everybody wants an appointment. That basic generosity will be tested. But the person should know, you know why I'm being tested with this? To see how far I can take it. Just how generous can I be before I crack? And what other midot, traits, go along with the generosity? There's mercy, there's patience. Kati, you're starting to build your own list. Being a Baal Siddhaka is not so easy. I got a business to run, to make the money to give them. Don't they understand? Kol nisayon v'nisayon shadam pogesh. Every test that you come up against. Vadai. 100% sure, says the Mashkiach. Yesh lo amida mushlisha umutbe'abo. There is a ingrained trait, the roots of the person. Mitzad yitzirato, from the formation of you, yourself, me, I. Shemitzad amida hahi, from the point of view of that particular mida, kallo lamod b'nisayon. And Hashem tests it and he develops it. There's a mashal brought in the Midrash. It says that the person who, the way they, linen I think is in this year, right? I think in ladies' clothing, linen is in. Especially if it's washable linen. So linen is in. Now linen comes from flax. Flax is a very hard plant. And the way they make the flax into cloth, into threads, and the way they weave it, is first they have to beat the flax. And the Midrash brings a mashal saying, the person who processes the flax, the pishtani, the person who deals in pishtan, in linen, starts to beat the flax, and when he sees good quality flax under the shell, the good linen can be developed, he beats that flax more than the cheap stuff. Because that's the flax he can get the most out of. And that's the peshat, says the Midrash, of Hashem Sadiq Yivchan. A person in his sadkut, in the area where the person is good, that's where Hashem tests you. He's testing your potential. He's testing to see if you will live up. And now we reach my main point. Not bad. The good qualities that a person is born with, your second nature qualities, your brightness, your generosity, your faithfulness, whatever it is that makes you a little bit better than the next guy, whatever it is that tips the scales, your good qualities, ma'alot mehayevot et ha'adam, they now make you liable to perform in that area. You have to now take that to the top. The service of a person to God is to develop one's good qualities to their full potential. And in doing that, a person's negatives will fall to the wayside. The Chovot HaLevavot sort of puts it in the terms of Maaser. If God gives a person 1,000 bushels, here's the big number, Robert, how'd you calculate it from your bag? 10% of the bushels is how many? 100. She did have a calculator in the bag. You can be sure there's one. You got it? But if Hashem gives somebody 10,000 bushels, how many? You need 1,000 just to cover Maaser. Right? Different strokes for different folks. One law, 10%, Maaser. But certain people owe more and certain people owe less based on what Hashem gives you. And the beracha of Yaakov to his children was that you should use your good strength to its optimum. Rabbi Yisrael Salam, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said, Omnam, truly, Yodeani, I know sheyesh li rosh, I have a head, I have an intelligence. This wasn't a gaava statement, but when you hear it, you might think so. That's equal to 1,000 other people. Take 1,000 people, add up all their brain power. I don't know how many gigabytes that is. But whatever it is, take 1,000 people's minds, and my mind alone equals that. That's what Yisrael Salanta said. But he didn't stop there. He concluded by saying, Aval, le'umad zeh, but, in regard to this, I guess, hareyesh alai chiyuv, I now have a responsibility, a liability. I have to outperform in spirituality 1,000 people. I got more, I got to do more. A person's requirements in service to God depends on how he made you. Every good quality that God gave you as a gift requires you to serve Him fully to the utmost using that gift. And the trial at the end of 120, the Din and the Cheshbon will be the Fima Asav and Pekudato. Because Hashem gave you those talents for a mission. You're a soldier in His army. You're part of His plan for the culmination of history and eternity. and he gave you what it takes, and he helps you develop it by testing you in those areas. And he makes you perform. He helps you perform. And you have to do it to succeed. A person can achieve perfection only by guarding and developing the potential of those character assets that are unique to his or her personality. That's what we've been talking about. Your service to God is different than mine. And my service to God is different than yours. If a person's unaware of their innate capacities, person can't develop them. But by looking at where your tests are, as realizing this is what our God wants from me because this is where he's testing me, you have a clue, a great signal to lead you to what you should work on. But the beauty of the whole class tonight is to succeed in spirituality. We found out we don't have to fight ourselves. We have to develop ourselves. We have to take what's good in us and build it, and the bad will just fall off and shed like the scales off a fish or a skin snake. It just falls off. By developing into a butterfly, all the leftover garbage of the cocoon is left behind. We have to work on ourselves and work on ourselves and develop ourselves to our strengths. And then we could reach full potential. And when they ask us, where's that thing you were created to do? After 120, we could say, here it is. I did it. I just was me. Got it? See you next week.